You're listening to the Light Novel Podcast. Visit us online at lightnovelpodcast.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Light Novel Podcast. On this episode, I know on our last episode where we talked about Excel World, we had no idea what we were going to talk about. But as it turns out, a whole whack ton of brand new license announcements happened between then and now. So, the light novel companies kind of made the decision for us. So this episode, we're going to be covering new license announcements from Tentai Books, Cross Infinite World, Yenon, and from J Novel Club. So four companies, a whole bunch of titles listed. I think I'm trying to think 9, 12, 13 light novels announced between them all. So I am Justice R. Stone, and joining me tonight, I have Jean-Luc.
Good night, everyone.
I have Mirage.
Good evening, everyone.
And I have Terrence.
Hey, what's up?
All right. So first off, though, we are going to start off with just a little bit of news. Both of these news tidbits come to us via Yenon. They had two other announcements aside from their titles. And one of them, the first one, is that they are releasing a Sword Art Online Platinum Collector's Edition. If you have not read Sword Art, if you do not own Sword Art Online and you don't mind reading a absolutely massive hardcover book, this could be a really cool deal for you. In any case, what they're doing is they are releasing the first 20 volumes of Sword Art Online. That comprises the beginning of Sword Art all the way up to the end of the Alicization arc. If you are familiar with Reiki Kawahara, that is actually the original run of Sword Art Online. That was the end of Sword Art for many years as far as the web novel was concerned, and he's only now in the past couple of years started a brand new arc with the 21st volume called Unital Ring. Let him get a couple volumes up, and after the progressive anime, you can look forward to the Unital Ring anime, because you know they're gonna do that stuff until Sword Art's done. In any case, so it's 10 volumes per hardcover book. They did a similar thing with Spice and Wolf, although I think they put way more volume, like it was like, what, 16 or 17 volumes in one big hardcover book, something like that. So this looks a little bit more readable, but it's an absolute beautiful set. So basically it's in a collector's box, and then you get the two hardcovers that have artwork by Abek, the artist for Sword Art Online, the light novels. You have, of course, the two hardcovers comprising the first 20 volumes. And then you also have a foldable poster, and there is also a photo set. So a bunch of artwork printed in nice prints from the light novel. So, it's an absolutely beautiful set. Like, if I had the money, I would most definitely pick it up. It is cheaper to buy it than to buy all 20 volumes individually. So, like I said, if you haven't picked up Sword Art Online and you love the series and you're like, you know, I'd like to read the light novels and you want to have a beautiful collector set, well, this is the thing to get in on. Right now, it's available for a direct order through Yenon's website, through the Yen Press website. So I do not know if they've opened up international orders. When they announced it, you could only order it from their website for Canada and the US. But they did say there would be international orders at some point. So keep an eye out for that if you want it.
If I were a bigger physical fan, I'd definitely be all over that because I haven't read it yet.
Oh, it's like, and I mean, if you head over to EnglishLightNovels.com, I've got a news article about it, and I've got all the pictures they put out. And there was also on Twitter, they posted a brief video of them actually like opening the box up and pulling the hardcovers out. Yeah, it's stunning. Oh, it is a really beautiful set. I'll give them credit for that. They did a really nice job on that.
10 novels for one in one volume. What is the size of that book?
Oh, they're big. Oh, they're big. Like, yeah.
I'm just Googling it.
Yeah, like, watch the video of when they pull it out. Like, they are big, thick books. If you have poor eyesight, it will probably not be the way to try to experience the light, the light novels, because I doubt they'll be even readable if your eyes suck. I do believe, like, actually, there is another video they posted on their Twitter feed later on of them actually opening the hardcover and flipping through it.
Yeah.
The print did, I mean, it's small, but it does not look unreadable. Like, I think you could definitely read it just fine. But again, you know, it is not going to be viewer friendly if you have really bad eyesight. So.
So this is A4 if it's.
Yeah, it might be a more intimidating lecture than most light novels.
I don't know whether you could call them light novels. Let's put it that way. But
okay.
But anyway, so yeah, but they are. It is a really beautiful set. I was really impressed by it. I thought to myself, I was like, man, I kind of hope there's other series they eventually down the line do that. But you know, not all series make the kind of money Sword Art does.
Like, if they do that for, like, part-timer, I might pick it up.
Oh, the devil is a part-timer? I mean, I don't, like, this is the problem. We don't really know what series sell well.
Yeah.
Because the publishers don't really, like, all we can go by is when Amazon's top seller list, and it or Bookwalker, but they change those lists so often. Like, I think Amazon updates theirs like every couple of hours, so it's really hard to tell what's popular in a large scale. Like,
I'm surprised we didn't get, I mean, I know the series didn't go long, but I'm surprised we didn't get the part-time authors. They had another series they did, like, in between what they're doing now and part-timer, and we never did get that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, it's the same thing that they're starting to license. It's like they're licensing Seven Swords Reign or whatever it is. Same author as Alderaan on the Sky. But I don't think we're ever going to get Alderaan. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't given up hope yet.
Well, I you know what? Again, right? You don't know, because if Reign of Seven Souls of Blades or whatever does amazing and the hype is real, people might start screaming for, like, everything that author's done. But again, unless that happens, I don't know. That doesn't look so good.
Kind of reminded me of, like, Bastard Magical Academy. You remember they licensed, like, another, a totally different series. I think it only went for a short run anyway, too.
Yep.
But yeah, like, not the one that most people probably were, like, craving for years.
And Seven Seas and Seven Seas has licensed the manga of Akashic Records. So I don't understand why that light novel, that one is a mystery to me. I don't really understand.
But, like, look at the J-Novel Club. Like, they seem to like to license old stuff, like Slayer and Orphan. Mm. So wait 10 or 15 years and they might pick up Alderaan.
So, you know what? They're only going to do it if the series is so beloved it gets, like, a classic 10th anniversary new anime. If that happens, it gets licensed, I'm telling you. All right. The one other piece of news that, funny enough, also comes from Yen On. And we talked about this a little bit in the last episode when we were talking about Excel World, which was the newest volume of the Haruhi Suzumiya series. It's been years since there's been a new actual volume. The new volume's coming out in Japan. It has two short stories that were published elsewhere previously, and then a third short story that is original to the light novel. The news that we got last time that we talked about was that Yen On is doing a digital release of the book simultaneously with Japan, but they finally came out and started talking about what they are going to do with the print edition. And so what's happening, and you know what, as much as we fans, we often slag on companies about what they do and don't think about us and all this kind of stuff, I think I gotta give Yen On props for this. So basically, they are re-releasing the entire Haruhi Suzumiya series in paperback. It's going to be the entire series, and they are using the Japanese covers, which is typical of Yen On. And if you know about the Haruhi Suzumiya series, this will be the first time that we have the Japanese covers in print. When they were released in English before, they were basically like a solid color. Then they had kind of a multicolored bar across the one end, and then just the title with some silhouettes in it. So that's pretty cool. And then in June of 2021, this is when they're going to drop the brand new one in print, The Intuition of Haruhi Suzumiya. But they are releasing it in two editions. So they are going to be releasing the trade paperback to be in line with all of the previous ones with the Japanese cover. And then they are releasing a hardcover edition that is going to be have the cover that would be in line with the previous English releases, the hardcover releases. So if you've collected all the series years ago, you can get this brand new one and it won't screw up your series. It will still look like it belongs. So I thought that was pretty cool. They're giving people the option of which one they want to buy to maintain the integrity of their bookshelf. I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, so if you haven't checked out this series, I mean, it's a absolute light novel classic. Back around, what was it, 2008 that the series was around? I think the anime was 2008 that it ended or something. Anyway, so yeah, it's an older series, but certainly not one of the 90s classic series, but definitely a series that has had a lot of influence over the years and continues to have lots of influence. So if you haven't checked it out, might be the good time to jump on board. In fact, I only ever read the first one, but I had it in ebook. But now that I can get the whole series of the Japanese covers, I think I know what I'm going to be buying when that comes out. So I believe they're releasing them. Now, that's the one thing I didn't take note of. I believe they are going to be releasing the series like over the couple of months, like June is when the last one comes out. So I think they're actually doing like two or three, like January, February, March, April, May, to build up to it. I don't think they're just dropping like all 12, like all of them at once.
Yeah.
I believe that's what I had heard from them. So yeah. So that ought to be cool. So those are just the two little news things that I think are most important for fans to know. So let's get to the licenses, because, you know, that's what we're all here for, is to find new books to ruin our bank accounts. First up, so Tentai Books. Now, they released this new title. Now, we did harass them during their live stream, but when they were going to have some more titles to announce, they did say they might have some more announcements before the end of December. So they're building up their catalog slowly but surely. But this one is actually pretty interesting. So they licensed World Teacher, which has 13 volumes in Japan. So if you take a look at Tentai's other two titles, they were brand new titles that only had two or three volumes. This one, a well ongoing series. The synopsis from Novel Updates is, a man who was once called the world's strongest agent ended up becoming a teacher after his retirement to train the next generation of agents. After many years of training his disciples, he was killed at the age of 60 by the plot of a secret organization, and then was reincarnated in another world with all of his past memories. You know, as you do in a light novel. Though he was surprised by the magic and the strange species of that world, he adapted very fast to his condition as a newborn and took advantage of it. He acquired special magic and gained a massive amount of strength thanks to his tight discipline in order to reach his goal, to resume his career as a teacher, which he had left halfway through in his previous life. This is the story of a man who, based on the memories and the experiences of his previous life, became a teacher who travels through the world with his new students.
But I did check that series like a while back, and like it seems pretty decent. Like I wouldn't find it super mind-blowing, but I think it's but I think like it should be a nice read altogether.
Yeah, I heard from some people, you know, I try to avoid as many spoilers as possible, but I like to get just to know, like, in general, you know, is there romance in this story? Is there not? I did hear there's some ships in this story. Like besides the main character, there's some ships, you know, separate characters that have romance, which I always kind of like, you know, like in a realist hero or something. You know, I always kind of like
right. That. Well, the I know it is a. So Tentai Books, I mean, the main way to find out what they're doing is you really have to follow their Twitter feed, because that's where they announce pretty much everything. So I did actually go into the Twitch stream that they did, and they were, of course, we all kind of harped on Alex, the owner of it, because he was saying how much he loves the slice of life and the romance and the, you know, he's looking to license more of that kind of stuff. And everybody's like, dude, you just licensed a fantasy isekai. Like, you know, like you're kind of eating, you're kind of like feeding us shit and then telling us it's not, you know, like, but he insisted though, he was like, you know, once you get past the whole, like, introduction part of it and the you know isekai aspect, it sounds a lot like he basically it turns into a big sort of fantasy slice of life title where he travels the world. I don't know if he travels with all of his students all the time or if it's just some characters kind of come with him, but you know, different volumes have him meeting different people and teaching them something and then moving on. So it sounds
nowadays half isekai titles are like,
yeah,
that.
I know, yeah, I know.
From what I remember, it really feels like slice of life.
Yeah, well, again, right? Like we kind of said, I mean, Mirage, you're right. We said the same thing to Alex. You can't. it's still an isekai, dude, and he's still traveling in a fantasy world. This is not side character, or you know, you can't get away with that. But anyway, he says that he liked it because it had a really good slice of life and romance and all that kind of stuff that he's a big fan of, so that's why he went for it. It'll be interesting to see. That's for sure. We'll see what happens with them. I was just glad to see that they were committing to a longer series, because to me that says they have some confidence that they're going to be able to continue forward and keep going. I was pleased to see that. That was my.
Do you know if he got the license for the whole series or? Does he go the Soul Press route? And
yeah, I think most publishers don't get the license for the whole series. They usually get like one book, you know, and then they'll just negotiate for the next volume.
I'm not sure if most do it that way.
No, he.
Oh, I know JNC does.
Well,
yeah.
my understanding is that he did not say that. He said they had licensed the series. So I believe he's licensed the whole series. My understanding, again, I don't know everything, but my understanding is that typically companies will license a series, but those licenses expire after say 4 or 5 years. And then they'd need to renegotiate for any volumes that have that are to maintain that license and to release any volumes that are now going to be released beyond that 5-year span. So
yeah, it would make sense because like business wise, it wouldn't make sense to negotiate every volume. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah.
You would have a chance that a competitor would snatch a series from you because they have more money or something. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the situation that you find with the situation. Oh, and this is getting a print release. He did say that too. The thing that you find is that based on the terms of the contract, that is what can cause delays. For instance, if the publisher, so Soul Press, I'm not slagging on them. They've had a lot of problems with their whole printing side. My understanding is that part of what's caused a delay with their books is that contractually they had to print certain ones, and because they couldn't get the printing done, the Japanese license holder was kind of like, you ain't getting more Japanese raws until we see the prints happening. That's the rumor. I don't know if it's true. But as far as I understand it, that's it isn't a situation of having to negotiate volume at a time or negotiating just two or three volumes at a time. It's more like until you satisfy elements of the contract, the Japanese license holder might withhold and say you can't publish more until you've satisfied the contract up to this point, kind of thing.
Sounds more likely.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I do know, I do know from a lot, talking to some publishers, the licenses are usually for a year, like number of years. And then to continue publishing the series, they have to renegotiate the license. That's why we see like with anime, right? The say Funimation will put the DVDs out for so many years and then suddenly it's off the catalog. Why? It's because they don't have the rights anymore and nobody's going to pick up the rights because they're like, the series is 5 years old. Who wants it? People just buy it on eBay or, you know, pirate it because that's what people do nowadays. Anyway, so yeah. That's a whole other that's a whole other show. but in any case,
it's a pirate books. Show.
We'll have to do, you know, when it's Talk Like a Pirate Day, we'll have to do a podcast and we'll do the whole thing talking like pirates. No, let's not do that. Nobody want to listen to that. Anyway, so yeah, Tentai Books, that's the only title they've picked up. However, they do say they are working on more. I do know that we mentioned in one of our previous episodes, and Mirage was also talking about how Micro Magazine has a number of titles. JNC actually picked up some of the ones that they had mentioned, but there's still a couple that the ball is up in the air who's licensed it, because Micro Magazine says they have done an English license, so we don't know what's going to happen. But I know Tentai Books did say they should have some more titles to talk about before the end of the year.
And I think Soul Press may have some more too.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, they keep saying, and again, I hope it's true because legitimately, you know, I want everybody to succeed. I'm not looking for anybody to get destroyed. It seems like they've become pleased with whoever they have managed to find to do their print stuff and that it is starting to roll out. So hopefully that's them back on track. They're starting to get the next volume of series, like they just announced they're releasing volume 2 of Saving 80,000 Gold for My Retirement. It has been forever since the first volume they released it. So it sounds like they're starting to clear up their backlog and kind of get back on track, which is good because they've got a couple of good titles that, you know, certainly people want to see continue, especially like, you know, Chivalry of a Failed Knight. I know lots of people don't want to see that fail. So. All right, moving right along, we'll go to Cross Infinite World. So Cross Infinite World has announced three titles. They are all direct negotiations with the author. Actually, hold on a second. There was one. I'm gonna lie to you guys here. because there was one that they had said, I asked them and I said, is this getting released in Japan? And they said that it is. Okay, here. So there is one that is getting a Japanese edition, but it's actually the one that we'll talk about first. So I'll shut up and I'll read the description of it. As a villainess, I reject these happy bad endings. Iris has awoken as the villainess in the world of her favorite otome game, but not just any otome game, one with nothing but bittersweet, happy bad endings. If the heroine hooks up with one of her problematic love interests, the rest of the world is doomed. But if she fails, it's the villainess who will pay with her life. Fortunately, Iris has time on her side. All she has to do is set things up so that the heroine won't go down those routes, be it curing a fatal disease or reparenting her possessive twin brother. She'll do whatever it takes to reject these happy bad endings. So this one is the one. It is getting a release in Japan. The Japanese edition, however, is going to have different artwork. And the English edition is receiving an exclusive bonus after story in this volume. So English, it is. It's a little strange. We don't often have that happen, but it did.
Also, I didn't find it on Amazon yet. So it's not out yet.
No, no, it isn't. Because I asked them that. Because, you know, I do EnglishLightNovels.com. I try to have as much information as accurate as I can. So I asked them, when they don't mention it, I say, is this a Naru pickup or is this one from a Japanese publisher? And for this one, they did say there is a Japanese edition coming. However, they're getting it first. They're getting this bonus content for their release. And also they have commissioned their own artwork for it. So I don't know when the Japanese release is supposedly happening. However, for the English market, we are getting it first. And looks like we're kind of getting a better edition by the sounds of it. So booyah.
As for the content, it sounds a bit strange.
Yeah, that was
so.
If the heroine
hooks up with the good guy, or with the problematic good guy, then the rest of the world is doomed.
So they were saying, because there's another title that they licensed that we're going to talk about that we'll get into, but. Because people were asking them a bit about what these books are based on, because obviously some Otome games have made it over to English market, but let's be honest, we probably have far more visual novels that are aimed either at men or are sort of a unisex type title. But the Otome gaming market, I don't think, I mean, it's just based on what I see in terms of people's announcements. It doesn't seem like we have gotten the same volume of Otome titles and variety of Otome titles that certainly they have in Japan. But even in comparison to the visual novels that we have that are either aimed at a male audience or are aimed at just sort of a unisex audience. So anyway, what they were saying was this, that there are Otome games that apparently all have can have horrible endings. They are like dark, bleak, gothic, evil type things where literally the heroine, depending on who she hooks up with, it's all bad ends for everybody else, but it works for the heroine. I don't know how that works, and I don't know why you'd want to play a game like that, but apparently they exist.
I guess a lot of the guys in this one are going to be Yandere too.
Probably.
Yeah. So it could be one of those things where it's like the male is such a possessive Yandere that he decides that he needs to kill the whole world so they can't possess her. I mean, it could be something over the top like that. But yeah, so I mean, again, it sounds kind of funny, but. It's kind of like, I kind of like this one because you have that aspect. We have a bunch of them where it's, I need to avoid my bad ending, right? This one, she's not only got to avoid her bad endings, but she's also got to try and make it so that the heroine avoids her good endings, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this double duty that she has to do. So this one I think sounds kind of cute. I think it could be kind of cool. Now the other one, they got another one, and this is the other one that kind of they were saying, you know, again, dark. It's called Reincarnated as Evil Alice. So the only thing I'm courting is death. And honestly, based on the artwork, I think she is literally courting an incarnation of death. I'm not kidding. Struck by a car while saving a kitten, I died and reincarnated as the heroine of Evil Alice's Lover, my absolute favorite Otome game. But before I could even enjoy my new life as Alice, I remembered something important. Even though this is a game about dating, there are so many bad endings. It won the award for Deadliest Game of the Year. I'm not allowed to fall in love if I want to live, but the death flags just keep coming. Packed with suspense and romance, this is the story of my gothic romantic comedy. So this is a Naru pickup, so direct with the author. It is a volume one. They announced it as a volume one, so my guess is that it will have more than just the one volume. And this is the one they were saying, like, yeah, there are Otome games that have crap tons of bad endings. Like, it's...
Oh, that's for all visual novels.
Well, okay, fair enough, but...
For most visual novels.
But this one, I guess, in particular, it's pretty brutal. But they also said that it has a real Alice in Wonderland vibe to it. So, hence why she says, I reincarnated as evil Alice. So it's kind of like this dark Alice in Wonderland vibe to it, which I thought sounded really cool.
Well, if it's closely like paying homage to like the real Alice in Wonderland, like, could be interesting.
It kind of, like, just looking at the artwork and everything else, I immediately thought, if you know the manga, and there were some light novel tie-ins, Pandora Hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it kind of gave me that vibe. I don't know, it could be totally off, but that was kind of the vibe I got from just looking at the artwork and sort of when they were talking about Alice in Wonderland and this dark kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, but the way, like, it describes it, like, it seems to be closer to like an actual like a reference to Alice than Pandora Art. Like, Pandora Art was loosely influenced by Alice, but
yes, very, yeah, loose is probably the operating term there. Yeah, very, very loosely. So, yeah, so, well, in any case, it so it sounds pretty cool though. And then the last one that they licensed is called Reincarnated as the Last of My Kind. A bicycle crashes into me one night, and the next thing I know, I'm a baby. Getting reincarnated in another world populated by humans, demi-humans, and mythical beasts is certainly not the turn I thought my life was going to take. I especially didn't expect to be carried off by a wolf and given into the care of a one-armed former knight. Now I'm trying to repay him by rebuilding the family inn and healing his arm with alchemy. But the more time passes, the more it becomes clear to me that I'm not actually human. So this one, I mean, I don't know what else to say. The title's pretty clear that she's the last of her kind, and it's clear that she's not human. So there you go. It looks, but
from the ear on the artwork, it looks like she's an elf. Let me just guess.
Yes. Oh, yeah, elf, like, she's very elf-like, yeah.
Elf or demon or something, like, there's little pointy ears.
Yeah, absolutely, yep, absolutely. This one, the artwork for it actually is by the same artist as The White Cat's Revenge, as plotted from the Dragon King's Lap. So if you're familiar with that series, that's the kind of artwork you can look forward to. It looks really, like, honestly, it looks really cute. The artwork's quite cute on it. I think, I'm trying to think of what they were saying. Like, I think they were saying that, you know, it really does have that slice of life. It strikes me as, if it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord before it got creepy. that's my take on it.
So the vibe I'm getting is more like Killing Slimes or something like that.
Oh,
also slice of life, like.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
as long definitely. As there is no,
or maybe Woof Woof Story.
Sorry.
As
which?
Long as there is no slime.
Uncomfortable slime bits?
Slime twins.
Yeah, slime twin. It should be fine.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's...
Do we
that's...
know anything about the length of this one?
Do I know the length? No. It is a volume one, so it is not a one shot. In fact, I think only the first one they announced is a single volume. Trying to, because yeah, this one is a numbered release, so it is going to be multiple volumes, I don't know how many it's going to have, so yeah, we'll see. But the other thing that I've noticed with these announcements, they are using a whole bunch of newer translators. So remember, we talked about this a little while ago, that they had put out a call for more translators. So it looks like they're picking up some more series and pumping them out, and they've got some new translators on board. So that is pretty cool. I'm pretty pleased about all that. So seems like Cross Infinite World is doing well, and they're really jumping on board the whole Otome game thing. But I like that they're picking things up that have a little bit more of a twist as opposed to just straight ahead kind of stuff like, you know, Baccarina and stuff like that. So, yeah. All right.
Well, Baccarina, when Baccarina came out first, it, being in an Otome game villain, it was a twist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely yeah. It was. Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
It's not anymore.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's not really a...
it's like Isekai. Maybe at first it was a cool twist, but...
yeah, it's gotten a little... Yeah, it's gotten a little. Anyway, but yeah, so they... But no, I was really pleased with the titles that they were announcing. It sounds like they're pretty cool. Like I said, I'm really kind of on board with the whole gothic, dark Alice in Wonderland vibe. That's definitely one that I want to check out. All right, so we'll pop over to Yen On. So they announced 4 brand new series and then sort of a 5th one that is not a new series, but we'll mention it because, you know, it's a continuation of a series, and so far they haven't done a lot of those. So I think the only one that they've continued was the one from Spice and Wolf, and then the short story compilations of Index were the last ones they announced, right? I'm trying to think if there's any other ones.
Well, there are not that many series that are...
continue like
divided,
that.
That are divided into 2 different series.
Yeah, that's true. There aren't. But Yen On has almost all the ones that are. in any case. So we'll start off with the pickup for the sequel, which is Durarara SH. This one, obviously a continuation of the Durarara series. In the sequel series from the urban fantasy Durarara, Yahiro Mizuchi has come to Tokyo in the hopes of starting a new life and maybe seeing the Headless Rider. But the famous Dullahan hasn't been seen in half a year, and neither has anyone who's gone to find her. Durarara is a SH is a sequel series of the legendary Durarara, the most well-known work by Ryogo Narita, the creator of Bakano and Deadmau5 Death Play. With Durarara standing out as one of the most beloved franchises of the past decade, one that helped launch light novels in the West, because, yeah, that was one of the early series that Yen Press picked up. Yeah, so Durarara SH is a highly anticipated release by the most passionate of light novel readers. Okay, I'm a pretty passionate light novel reader, and I wasn't, like, doing cartwheels when this was announced, so I feel a little called out, but...
Same here.
yeah. Right? You know, don't get me wrong, Durarara is a good series. I'm not slagging on it, and I know some people were really happy to see this. I know some people were really happy to see this just because it made them go, maybe we'll get New Testament, maybe we'll get the sequel to World End, you know, like... so... who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I liked the first season of the anime. Wasn't so enthused about the second and third seasons. Mm. Not sure if that's because of the adaptation or because it was already in the light novel.
Mm. I don't know. I never watched the anime for it. I guess maybe I should have, but I did not because, you know, I didn't.
If you do, watch at least the first season. That's good.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, I guess... The one thing I'm wondering about is Celtie, you know, I assume she's the Dullahan they're talking about. Correct. She never got her head back.
No. Nope. Not at all. Actually, the other thing that I'm now okay, and I am not familiar with SH. But I saw some people talking that SH apparently is not over yet. That it kind of is stalled and has been for a little while. So I don't know the story behind that. I'm not familiar with it because I never finished the actual first Durarara series. So I wasn't like, I need more. So yeah, I'm not really sure there. But again, it's, you know, at least we're starting to get some sequel series. So
I guess one of the other things I just wanted to ask about is this a new perspective? Like, I know Bakano, you know, shifts perspectives. I assume Durarara does too in the novels. But is this character that they're talking about in the description, is this a new character or is this a continuing character?
As far as I know, it's a new character.
Okay, so it could be an okay entry point if you decide you just want to jump.
I really don't think so. No. Well, okay. I only say that because it does seem clear from like later volumes that other characters that were around in Durarara make prominent appearances in SH. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know the mm-hmm. backstory of them, you might get lost. I haven't read it, so I can't say 100%, but just based on some of the little blurbs that I've seen of the volumes and stuff, it sounds very much to me like this is kind of, so it says that Celtie's not been seen for a half a year, but I believe this is taking place a year and a half after the end of Durarara. So there has been some gap in time. So you're kind of catching up with characters in the aftermath, like seeing sort of where they've ended up after the events of Durarara. So, but yeah, it is a new character as far as I know, but definitely a lot of the old characters do make appearances. So, yeah, I don't think it's a jumping on point at all. I wouldn't sell it like that way.
they didn't either during the during the press conference. They were like, yeah, if you're a fan, go pick up the first ones. Like, they made a point. Get the first ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're doing that because they want to sell more books. But I do think that they're justified in saying it, because I do not think that that's going to work. And I mean, yeah. And if you're familiar with Narita's books, like he is all about weaving different storylines and different characters all together. Mm-hmm. And sort of, even in a single volume, he'll have start off with like three or four different plot lines that'll eventually all intersect near the end. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine him calling this a sequel to Durarara and not having pulling in ideas and characters and everything else from that series too. So yeah, I don't think it's really a good jumping on point at all. Carrying on, since we're talking about a series that's a sequel, let's talk about a series that's a spinoff. I was a bottom tier bureaucrat for 1500 years, and the Demon King made me a minister. So this is a spinoff of I've been killing slimes for 300 years and maxed out my level. In this spin-off story of I've Been Killing Slimes, enjoy Beelzebub's misadventures in her early days as the Demon Minister of Agriculture after she was promoted from entry-level office worker to right to the top. So if you've read 300 years, you'll obviously know who the character of Beelzebub is. And she's actually one of the more enjoyable characters from that, actually. As far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm not the only one.
But the barrier for that is not very high.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, well yeah,
we have the twin slimes, and we have the idiot elf. There's not much.
Okay. Well, I admit that the twin slime made me drop the series, but...
Wow, you guys are so harsh on the twins, man.
Oh, damn. Man, I told you before, but when they said that, we're going to punish you for killing slime, and then what did you do the last 50 years? Oh, we killed slime for a living. Like, what?
But they were evil slimes.
I mean, so you have the dragon and you have Beelzebub.
Yeah, I know. But on the spur of the moment, like, it didn't register well in my brain.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
So you have the dragon and you have Beelzebub. So yeah. Not much competition.
Well, that's true. Although I think I'm more partial to the dragon.
50-50.
Yeah, well, I'd probably be about 50-50. It depends what you're more into. If you're more into the little sister archetype, then it's totally the dragon. If you're more into the tsundere, confident girl, then it's all about Beelzebub. That's kind of what it boils down to. And obviously, 300 years is getting a anime coming out, so I'm sure that's part of the reason they picked up this spinoff.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I would characterize Beelzebub as tsundere.
Okay, maybe no. No, actually, you're right. She's not really a tsundere. I think it's, you know what, it is not so much that she's a tsundere because she can be pretty obvious with things and playful in a way, but I kind of got the feeling, now I've only read the first two volumes at this point, but I kind of got the feeling that she was one of those characters that doesn't exactly want to admit to all the things she's done. Like, I don't know. She's fun. I like her.
Yeah, I like her too. So maybe this spin-off I will pick that up, but I dropped the main series after volume 4 because it just petered out and there was nothing new, and every story arc, every few chapters was almost like the one before.
I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah. Well, fair enough. All right. I'm just jumping all over the place because that's kind of how I feel about doing things. Let's go with the single novel release that Yen On announced. This actually sounds really cool. What did somebody describe this as? Oh my God. What's the...
Blame?
Blame, yes. Blame? Yes, yeah. Blame, exactly, yes. Where the whole world kind of gets taken over by this supercomputer and it just keeps building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I actually looked that up on Wikipedia one time because apparently there is an argument about just how far out the computer has built. And at one point they suggest that, like, he's actually on the moon, but still inside the structure. Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Anyway, this one's called Yokohama Station SF. It's by Tatsuyuki Tanaka with illustrations by Yuba Isukari. It's a one-shot sci-fi novel. In a future where Yokohama Station covers most of the island of Honshu, there are two ways of life, inside the station and outside. Life within the station is strictly controlled, and those who fail to follow the rules are expelled to the harsher world outside. When one of these exiles receives a temporary ticket to go into the station, he's also given a mission to find the leader of a group determined to free humanity. It's a dystopian sci-fi novel that apparently has enjoyed bestseller status in Japan. So, yeah, it's a complete one-volume sci-fi title if you want to check that out, which, I mean, it's pretty cool because we don't get a lot of Japanese sci-fi nowadays. Ever since, what was it, Hakusura or whatever?
Haikasoru, yeah. When they died, yeah, we just kind of stopped getting sci-fi. So, yeah, this is like the first big one, I think, that we've gotten since they died.
Oh, yeah.
Since who died?
I always screw up the name. Haikatsura?
Yeah.
They mess it up. Yeah, they were affiliated with Vertical. So basically what happened was Vertical was doing the manga and then, of course, eventually light novels. And Haikatsura, what they were doing is they were licensing Japanese novels. So sci-fi novels, fantasy novels, a lot of sort of one-shot stuff. But you know, if you look into it, there are big titles and by big names in Japanese sci-fi and stuff. And so then they were releasing the novel side and Vertical was doing the manga light novel side. And then I guess they weren't doing as well. And they shuttered it. So,
But we do get quite a few sci-fi titles. We have 86. We have Quest of the Stars.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay.
There's a little difference. Like Justice was saying, a lot of one-shots. And I'm not saying they only did one-shots. Obviously, they did, you know, Legend of the Galactic Heroes. But they did a lot of, like, these little one-shot novels that felt more novel-based as opposed to, light novels. Light novels like 86. You know, there are ongoing series.
But even 86, I think, now again, I've got more copy volumes of 86 and I want to read more. I just haven't had a chance yet. But even 86 still had that. Yes, we can say it's science fiction because they have like armored weapons, but I don't know. It wasn't the same as like reading about, it wasn't hard sci-fi, you know what I mean? And this sounds more harder sci-fi than 86 or, you know, some of the couple of others that we have. Although Crest of the Stars, that's arguable, because even in Japan, that's arguable whether that's a light novel or not, right? That's kind of in the that same realm as Legend of Galactic Heroes, isn't it?
It is the same genre, but if you ask me, then Quest of the Stars is in a completely other league as Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Well, I just mean in terms of that both of them are heavily tied to the light novel audience because of the anime and stuff like that, but that technically when they were published, they were considered more of a sci-fi series, like a novel series, not a light novel series. I believe that's...
Personally, I don't really distinguish between those.
Well,
because
hard.
It's a novel. If it's a novel, some people might call it light novel, but for me it's a novel.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where basically the only reason you can call something a light novel is because a certain publisher released it. There's no, you know, there's no rhyme or reason anymore. There's nothing you can really nail down and say this is a light novel because they did this, and this kind of thing anymore. So, but whatever, it's
fine. More illustrations.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you can't even say that because how many
legend novels from JNC?
Yeah, didn't have illustrations. I mean, Nishio Ishin's books lack a lot of illustrations. Like, they certainly don't have the illustrations that a lot of other light novels do. They really only have usually the cover and maybe one interior one. At least that's the case with the Monogatari series. Okay, so another light novel series that they picked up. Hajire Skill, the guild member with a worthless skill, is actually a legendary assassin. Roland is the world's greatest assassin. He's a man who's taken a worthless skill and made it so powerful that he managed to kill the greatest demon lord that's ever lived. He could live out the rest of his days as a wealthy and famous man, but instead chooses an exceedingly normal life working at an adventurer's guild. For someone as exceptional as Roland, aiming for a normal life won't come easy, however. So yeah, so there you go.
That one seems really interesting. Like, I did check a few chapters of the manga and I'm hooked. Like,
oh yeah?
I'm gonna pick it up.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think the one thing that I heard is that he didn't exactly defeat the Demon Lord.
Yeah, not really. Well, he did. Like, the Demon Lord, it's in the illustration that you have on the news page of English light novel. Like, the chicks over there is the Demon Lord.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Like, and basically, he did, like, he sneaked away from the hero party, kind of gave the impression that he killed her, but actually, like, he just overpowered her, and, like, she admitted defeat. And, like, I think he, like, I don't remember ever reading about a worthless skill, so should really check it again. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the title, we talked about this a bit before the recording. I've been looking at the Japanese title, and the literal translation of the Japanese title would be something like a guild employee with the outlier skill Thin Shadow is actually a legendary assassin. And the official English title seems to be Hazure Skill, from legendary assassin to an anonymous guild member. So I'm not sure why they chose this title.
But in the end, like, the thing with maybe the worthless skill refers to the magic item that he used on the Demon Lord, because, like, he puts her a collar and it strips her of her magic power or demonic power. And, like, by activating the collar, he can transform her into a domestic cat.
Okay, I'm in.
So basically, sometimes he needs to go away for a job, like it's something sudden. So he just asks his coworker to, go feed my cat. But like, she's not able to turn back into a human demon or whatever. Like, it's only him that can activate the thing. So, okay. Like, you're going to pass the weekend as a cat. Back for you.
All right. I'm in.
The blurb on my animalist says he has the disguised demon queen Lila at his side.
Yeah.
And decides to live a slow life.
Yeah.
This guy's as a cat.
So.
Oh yeah. Man.
It reminds me a bit of Mao Mao Yu Yusha.
Mm.
Yeah, well, especially the drawing. Hero.
Hmm. Yeah,
the drawing makes me think
it,
of.
And it has nice artwork. Yes, so it might be the most interesting title that Yanon has announced this time around.
I have seen some of the other LN covers and some of the art, and it does look like, you know, it may get, you know, harem, you know, later on. I'm not sure, but yeah, one thing.
Well, slightly.
Slightly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the other thing I heard was that, and this was just, you know, I think it was a translator talking. They were like, imagine if 007 tried to live the slow life after all he did. And I don't know, you know, that intrigues me if like that's the case, that that's like the kind of story this is. Yeah.
It's the vibe that I add from it. Like, it's basically world-renowned assassin, but because of their work line, like, they're not really known except for like the people that employed them, and like, he's able, like, it's the king that gave him the mission to assassinate the demon king. So basically what he asks in return is to just like retire and live a normal life. So he's working at the guild agency, but no one knows his past except for like
the cat.
The cat and the manager, like the manager of the guild, because like the king like said, okay, this person wants to work. So like, there's some people that know, but normally like, but like, after a while, a lot of people are asking questions, because like, who's this guy? And he seems to have all of these connection, and like, people are really wondering, okay, who's that guy, and why the hell do you know this person, or is able to do that thing? But it really felt like a kind of slice of life with it. As Terence mentioned, it really felt like a 007 retiring and just having a job as a cafe or something.
Regarding whether or not it is a harem, there are 4 volumes out in Japan, and each cover has a different girl on it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Some of the girls look a little touchy-feely with him, too. Like, on one of the cover, they look very close
but
to him.
I gathered, like, it feels more like a bachelor going around and just having multiple partner more than an actual harem. Like, the guy has an household of a lot of chicks traveling with him or living with him or something like that.
Oh my. All right. Okay. Well,
but anyway, you know what? Interesting title.
Dude, you know what? When the demon lord lives with you and you can make her a cat at will, that alone I gotta read. That to me is a selling point. I'm not gonna lie. All right, and so then the last light novel that Yanon announced, and they also got the manga for it as well, not too surprising, given the popularity of the anime and the fact that they've now announced it's getting a second season, and that is Bofuri. I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense. When it comes to the VR MMO, New World Online, Keide Honjo isn't your run-of-the-mill greenhorn gamer. Forgoing a typical stat allocation for her great shielder, Maple, she pumps all her points into defense from the get-go. Her reasoning? I don't want to get hurt. With no magic, agility, or strength to speak of, this walking fortress will have to get creative to beat the baddies early on. But little does she know that her pure stat build will propel her to chaotic new heights that even the game admins couldn't account for. So, I mean, we don't really need to talk too much about this because I think most people know what this one's all about.
Yeah, so first of all, her name is Kaede.
Kaede. Okay. Hi. I just suck at pronunciation. It's you guys should know that by now. Granted, I'm way better than I was when I started all this, but man, I still struggle. Especially when it's like those, like the two, when there's two vowels next to each other, I'm still like, I don't know anyway.
For Japanese, vowels are almost always pronounced separately.
I'll try to keep that in mind.
And like, funny thing, like it just like it occurs to me, but I think that Kade means maple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, right? Like in Japan, do they pronounce maple as maple in the anime? Do we know?
I didn't check it, so
I think it's something like Maperu.
Okay. But it's different than her name, but it's okay, so
that it's the name of her character in the game.
Yeah.
Oh. Can I ask Melee or Mile from Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average? How do they, have you guys seen the anime for that? How do they pronounce her name?
I don't remember, actually.
I think it's Mile.
It is Mile.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure it's Mile. I think there's actually...
I was just curious.
Yeah, I think it's Mile.
Yeah, because I believe there's actually a point in the book where she says she renames herself based on a distance or whatever. I mean, even if they pronounce it a little differently in Japanese, it's, I believe the author makes it pretty clear that it's supposed to be a mile. Yeah, so this one's got 10 volumes in Japan as of August of this year. And as I said, it's already got one season of an anime and another season on the way. This, I think, after the Data Live and High School DxD and all those things were announced, I think this was sort of the next big title that lots of people were screaming for. So
yeah, I remember when I saw the covers for this one, just like I was really taken with like just the covers, the, you know, obviously it being a Shield character.
Yeah.
And I wanted this like way back, you know, when it was like at three volumes. It just kind of screamed this is going to get licensed at some point. And then got the anime and now it's a hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was I actually remember covering this back when it had its first, like, actually I think it's very from the first volume. It sold well enough in Japan that it was hitting like the top 10 lists. So yeah, and same thing, right? Obviously cute Shield character, like, come on. I mean, like, isn't that Fate extra or whatever is the Shielder character is so popular? So Shield, like, you know, cute girls with big shields, come on, it's a winning combo apparently. All right,
so, and from what you said, they changed the title, the English title.
They did a little bit. That, well, that was the title that they announced it as. So yeah, it's not the same, like because the way it was usually was I hate being in pain. That's what you have here. I hate being in pain, so I think I'll make a full defense build. I believe that's how the English, they put it on the cover of the Japanese releases. But yeah, they decided to go with that one. Obviously, it's shortened to Bofuri in Japan, so that's why they're including that as part of the title. So, All right, so that's it for Yen On. So we'll move over to J Novel Club. They've got five titles, two of which they have not released any parts of yet. So, all right. So first up, they have Our Crappy Social Game Club is gonna make the most epic game. Past trauma leads Shiraseki Kai to abandon the world of social game development, so he transfers to Maikun High School to start a new life. But on his first day, he meets Ai Nanaka, the president of a low-tier social game club, and finds out that the club is on the brink of disbanding, and is also populated by total weirdos. The programmer, Oshima Aya is a crazed gacha addict, and the illustrator, Kuroba Eru, faints from the cuteness of her own drawings. Kai joins the club, which gives them enough members to continue. Or so they thought. The student council hands down an ultimatum. Win a competition against another school, or disband. Now their management talents will really be put to the test. With the skills that he's nurtured and his new set of friends, can Kai face his fears to create the ultimate social game? This is like a brand new series, right? It's only got like
two volumes
or something. Yeah, like
as of June.
Yeah, I think the third may have been announced. Don't quote me on that, but I think it may have been announced.
Yeah, but it's definitely newer. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I just read the first two parts of the prepub just earlier this evening. And what they mean by social game is apparently just mobile or mobile gacha game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The history of Facebook.
Yeah. Not quite sure why they're calling it social game here. I haven't heard that term before.
I haven't either, so I don't
know. Apparently, it is a popular term. I don't really know what the difference is, but it is apparently a popular term over there. I haven't researched it enough, but I know there's been articles about social games.
Is it just because you can team up with other people, or
I think so. I think it's the multiplayer aspect, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
So basically, it's mobile games. What most people would call mobile games. Hmm. So it's apparently set in a very near future where mobile games have been more socially accepted and getting supported by the government and integrated into school activities, so there are clubs producing them all over. I don't think this one is that's one that I'm going to continue to follow, mostly because the main character has an older sister who is very aggravating.
Oh, she is.
She runs around his home half naked, trying to get a rise out of him.
Wow. She likes to impersonate like the characters that she's writing about. Like, she'll take on their diction. So she starts speaking in like an eloquent language, but calling him like Mademoiselle. It's like so stupid.
Oh, God.
Some things you can only find in books.
The student council, I think he's the president, I'm not quite sure, is an arrogant asshole, and as you could possibly imagine from the summary. And so far, I haven't found the girls of his club to be very likable either.
Oh, great. Oh, it sounds like a winning combination. Awesome, okay.
I'll probably continue it, but it's definitely like... Like, I think the sister character is supposed to be like, you're supposed to be like, she's so obnoxious, isn't that funny, you know? But I don't know, it didn't hit, you know? It didn't hit for me, that part. And then...
The obnoxious part made it, but not the funny part.
Yeah.
You hit the obnoxious wall and stopped.
And just the whole premise that there's a club that is so small and they have to... prove themselves against another club from an elite school. It's not new. It's nothing. And then the aspect that it's all about mobile games and gachas, it's just something that's probably not for me.
I do like the game development aspect a little bit. I'm not a huge fan of gacha, though. And this guy is like running around with like, he's got four cell phones at a time. And you know, he's one of those obsessive, like, not a whale, but like one of those players that has like 70 gacha apps on each phone and is always opening them every hour to make sure he gets the drops, you know. Like, he's definitely the opposite of like me. Like, I would never do that. But
I know some friends that have two telephones with Pokemon Go on both.
It mentions at one point that he tries to keep up with all the gacha games that are in the top 100.
Oh my lord! Okay, yeah, all right.
But his his past trauma, just like to talk about it a little, I only read a little bit of the first part, but basically he has this dream that is from his old school where he ended up taking the fall, kind of, for information leaking about a popular gacha game, which ended up killing that game for, it was developed by his club, basically, at his old school. And he took the fall because the email that was sent out, supposedly, with the, you know, how the gacha has, like, there's math to, you know, which drops you get. So supposedly he sent out, you know, what the drop rates were, basically, for each item, and, you know, they were found to be unfair. Supposedly it went from his email out to the public. And so that's the trauma, is basically he took the fall for that when there was kind of like a public meeting about it. He said, yeah, it was me. It was set from my computer. I have no defense, or something like that. And so there is a little bit of, like, what was the real story for me? I guess I want to find that out.
And when you find out, you can tell me, but I don't think I'm...
Well, so in other words, if we were hoping that this would be like a fill-in for gamers, we should give up.
Yeah, so I'll probably continue that one, but yeah, definitely a lot of, like, early on, obviously, a lot of jerkish characters. Like, there's a dude on his club who didn't, you know, wasn't backing him up, like, intentionally kind of forcing him to be the fall guy. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll definitely continue it, though. I'll let you guys know if it ends up being any good.
Okay, so next one that they brought up was Girl's Kingdom. This one's actually under their J-Novel Heart line. All Misaki wanted was a free education. Instead, she accidentally lands an exclusive contract with the most prestigious girl in school to serve as her personal maid. Misaki soon discovers that Amanotsuka Academy for Girls is no ordinary school. Her classes are all about how to be a maid, too. Students who impress the school's elite young ladies with their domestic service skills might be lucky enough to become a serif, guaranteeing them a job with an upper-class household after they graduate. But Misaki doesn't want to be a maid. She just wants to study hard, go to college, and work for a good company. So why did Himeko make her into her seraph out of nowhere? What kind of rich girl hires a maid who wants nothing to do with the job? If she wants to get through high school, Misaki has a lot to get used to. So this is a Yuri title.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say other than that. It's
well, look at the cover, and it's pretty obvious.
I got to be honest, the cover for this one, I don't know. That didn't draw me in. I did end up reading the first part. But yeah, the cover didn't draw me in, but the work inside, it's basically the main character, you know, the perspective character, the first girl who ends up, you know, meeting Himeko. She's kind of like that, I don't know what you call it, but like not forgetful, but she, you know, kind of, you know, not ditzy, maybe a little bit of that, where she, you know, she starts heading to school. She takes like the long route. She walks up the hill. And she ends up, you know, almost late for school. So she throws her bag, you know, over the gate and ends up climbing up the gate, which is, you know, totally young lady like. So she's got like those kind of aspects to her. And then when she falls over the gate, she turns around and obviously ends up meeting this kind of like purple haired, you know, slightly purple haired, dark haired girl that is obviously, you know, she's got the namesake of the academy. Unfortunately for the main character, she didn't really, like, understand what she was getting into going to the school. She passed that, like, domestic, I forget what they called it. It was, like, a domestic, you know, student test or something like that. So she passed that, and I don't know if she just didn't pay attention at all to the questions that were on the test or something. Because obviously she ends up in the school, and she doesn't realize, oh, this is a school for maids? Like, she just thinks, oh, this is a prestigious school. and I'm going to pass, and then I'm going to go to a prestigious college, and, you know, I'll make my way. She is from, like, again, I don't know if this is, like, fantasy or, like, not, like, fantasy, but, you know, like I think it is, like, more modern-ish. Like, there's alarms on the gates. Like, when she jumps over the gates, she taps an alarm. So I don't really know where to place this one yet. I'm going to read a little bit more. But yeah, she comes from a family where they don't have that much money, and she did have to work a lot of odd jobs. So I think there's a little bit of an aspect that she doesn't always pay attention to the little things because she's working so hard. And so that's maybe why she didn't, you know, totally understand what the Academy was about. She had actually never been there until her opening ceremony day. So,
oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. So she doesn't know what she's getting into. It's kind of fish out of water, I guess, and being put into this maid school. So that's kind of the story with this one. She ends up meeting that girl, Himeko. She's late for school, and so I think that girl, Himeko, kind of uses that, oh, she's late. You know, I'll give you a cover, and my cover is to make you my seraph, which she doesn't even know what that is, the main character. And
great.
Yeah, So that's as far as I got, was just that, like, little contract that she doesn't totally understand what's going on with it. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from there.
Oh my. All right.
So what I can add is that there are 8 volumes out in Japan.
Mm.
Yeah.
The first volume seems to have come out in 2014. The fifth was in the beginning of 2017, and Amazon JP doesn't have release dates for volumes 6 through 8.
Mm.
So I guess they were out in 2018 or so.
Well, I was trying to figure that out too, because it looks like there was... I was trying to figure it out because I wasn't sure if there was like a sequel series or whether there was reprints, or... Because the Japanese artwork that I could find was not the one that they have on the cover for J-Novel Club.
Yeah, and this one is, I think it's that GL novel. It's like the girls love kind of novel brand. They're only, as far as I know, they're only on Amazon in Japan. So this is a good get because it's, you know, if you aren't, you know, an Amazon JP, you know, purchaser, you're just not, you know, you're not going to see these titles, you know, even on like Bookwalker or something. So it's good. It's good that we're getting this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's they're trying to expand sort of what they offer. And I mean, it sounds different than, a lot of the other Yuri titles that they've brought out have been more science fiction, fantasy, like more fantasy than anything. So this one, I mean, even if it's a slightly alternate world, it still sounds like it's more grounded in a reality similar to ours. So, all right, cool. So next up, this one I think is a newer series, honestly, Dungeon Busters. Clear all the dungeons. There are 666 of them. 666, really? Super original. And 10 years to do it. If not, the only thing that awaits is total annihilation. Etsoe Kazuhiko suddenly finds a mysterious underground space in his yard. When he steps into what turns out to be the very first dungeon in this world, he ends up activating the dungeon system and learns from the mysterious beauty who appears to him, Akane, that the world is doomed to destruction if the 666 total dungeons that will be appearing in this world are not all cleared within 10 years. As countries begin taking measures in response to the dungeons appearing all over the world, Etsoe seeks out companions, together with whom he establishes Dungeon Busters Inc., a company dedicated to clearing all the dungeons in the world. The curtain rises on this dungeon-delving epic with overwhelming realism.
Wow.
Yes, I can confirm overwhelming realism. I've read the first 3 parts of the prepub.
Okay.
And it's really fun.
Oh, good.
So that's something to start with. And the main character, he's a business consultant as his main job, and he goes about dungeon exploration very methodically. Copying drop weights in Excel sheets and optimizing farming routes. And
nice. Okay, I'm liking the vibe of this.
And, well, it's something you don't see very often in light novels for people who are locked in game-like worlds, but it's basically how gamers do it in the real world.
Yeah, well, that's it. Exactly. That's what I mean.
And he says of himself he isn't really a gamer, but he uses business theory and applies it to dungeoneering. And the monsters in the dungeon, they drop money.
Of course they
yen,
do.
Yen.
Oh, they actually drop yen.
And they drop yen, yes. And he actually, there's actually a subplot about how he's going to launder the money so he can put it into it so it doesn't become too obvious that he's getting it from a dungeon.
Okay, I'm sold.
I thought you were going to say he was doing it to avoid paying taxes on it.
No. He's doing it so that he can tax it. So that he can, he runs it through a money launderer so he can put it into his tax declaration.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh God.
All right, I'm all over this book. This one sounds like a good one.
I'm sold.
One thing to note with all of these J novel titles, none of them had this is what's going to happen in the future. Like they do a little prologue that shows you like a future scene. And personally, I've never been a big fan of those. I like just jumping into the story. But with this one, instead of doing like a prologue of this is what happens in the future, you know, our hero being a badass, taking something down. The prologue is a past iteration of the world. It's kind of like
another world where the dungeons appeared previously.
Yes.
Just before
yes.
it was annihilated.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So you get to see like the heroes of, they call a hero to that world, like the people that live there. They call a hero there, and the hero has these maidens with him, and they're going to take out the big enemies, and they're like waving to the crowd. You know, after they take out the arm of a big monster, and all of a sudden a boulder just comes down and smashes them. so the main girl that's on the cover, she's watching this from the hillside, and she's like, humans, I've seen this too many times. Every time they try to, you know, shuffle off all their problems onto another person instead of dealing with it themselves, and they always meet, you know, this untimely end. And when is the cycle going to end? And then, so that's kind of the end of the prologue. And then they jump into, you know, this current story with the middle-aged man. Yep.
And he's a middle-aged man. That's another big difference over a lot of light novels, right? Because.
But the more energy he absorbs from the enemies he defeats, the more youthful he becomes.
Oh, well, I mean, whatever. The fact that he is a middle-aged man and the fact that he is approaching things from a middle-aged man's point of view and as a business like this. Okay. This sounds cool. I'm liking this.
Yeah. One thing I was not so happy with is the illustrations because Akane, every time I see a picture of her, I think, does she not have any clothes in her size?
And who's that on the cover? Which one of the two is that?
The girl that's leaning down.
The one with the very, very, very large boobs.
Okay, good.
And she, in the description, they say she wears like chainmail, like on her top half, and then her bottom half is like the ninja outfit, like the, you know, obviously with the her legs showing. But like I don't know, in the illustration does it seem like that's like chainmail?
No, not really. You can see through it. Can't see through chainmail.
Hey man, sometimes you have to take some artistic liberties to sell the book. That's all I'm saying.
And I think she did that, so
jeez. All right. Okay, well hey, that one sounds cool though.
One thing it also does differently than other light novels, and I don't think it's a spoiler because part three is all still almost the beginning of the book. They do have sex. It takes them the first until part three to get to this point, but they get there.
They're consenting adults. Why not?
Nothing graphic though. Yeah.
Just it happens and that's it.
Yeah. In the first part, too, they kind of did like there's a master servant kind of thing, you know, with this, you know, this girl. He acquires a card and basically gets her, you know, as his servant, you know, but then like you get her perspective. And I just started with that, with her perspective. Mm-hmm. But she said when she first appeared, she thought he was looking at her like lasciviously or whatever. And she was like, if he tried, you know, to come on to me, I was going to slice his neck off, you know. So like, and I don't know, you know, how to kind of describe this, but it, like, even though she said, you know, it's a master-servant relationship, you can do whatever you want to me, she wasn't actually thinking that. Like that was more to get his mind, you know, back on track, because he was, like, frazzled about what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, in the first two chapters, it was almost a bit annoying, because she was coming on to him a lot, and he was always... not right now. I have this spreadsheet to fill in, and despite that he said, yes, she is attractive, yes, I would like to have sex with her, but right now I don't have time. I have this spreadsheet to fill in. I have to to do some more calculations. I mean, that's probably more like real life than most people would like to admit.
Yeah.
but it was still a bit strange. But then in chapter three, somehow they got around to it.
He found some time.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I'll ask Mirage is how much of it is played like super straight, how much of it is comedy, like what would you say right now is the level with this one?
Hard to say. It's very they play it very straight, but of course the way, if you look at it from a meta perspective, then of course it's funny to see him calculate the drop rates of the mobs, but in game of course the world is in danger of being destroyed. So there is a small paragraph scene with a president of the United States of America, and he's called Ronald, and came into office on a platform of Gamerica first.
Oh no!
I have no idea if he's going to have a larger role. So far it was just half a page.
Okay. On that note, we'll move to the next title. So the next one that they announced, and now this one and the next one, they don't have any parts available on their website yet, right? So we're just going to basically go by what they say. So the first one, The Great Cleric, White Collar Survival in Another World. One moment, a certain salaryman is on cloud nine, that promotion finally within his grasp. And the next, he's keeled over in pain. And, well, that was all she wrote. Luckily for him, fate had a bit more to say. A world of magic, monsters, and other such life-shortening entities await his newly reincarnated self for a second shot at life. With nothing but his past life experiences and sharp business skills to guide him in the foreign lands of Galdardia, he takes up the name Luciel and vows that his next demise will be from naught but old age. And what better way to avoid another gruesome death than by taking up a nice, cushy job as a healer? But getting by in another world doesn't come easy or cheap. It'll take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to hone the skills he needs to make his way. But make it he will, or die again trying. This one's got like 8 volumes, eh, in Japan? Like it's...
Seven, as of December 2019, so might be another one out by now, but I haven't found it on Amazon.
All right. So, yeah, so I don't know really what else to say to that.
Not much. One thing I noticed, it's also by Micro Magazincha.
Yes, this was one of the ones that they had said they had an English license for.
Yeah. So there are quite a lot of Micro Magazincha titles, even in addition to the 3
that they had rumored. Yeah,
yeah, and the last one that we have on the list is also by them.
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. The artwork, I like the artwork on this one though.
Yeah, I like the artwork. The only thing, it's a little. The cover's a little cluttered with like the words and stuff, but yeah, the artwork looks good, and I'm very curious, of course, about the girl in the background. Is she a bunny girl?
Bunny girl? Yeah, of course she's a bunny girl. Why wouldn't there be a bunny girl? What's the point of being reincarnated in another world if you can't have cat girls, bunny girls? Come on. You know? Jeez. Anyway. All right. And then the last title that they announced, The Magician Who Rose from Failure, Tales of War and Magic. This one's notable because it's actually written by the same author as The Magic in This Other World is Too Far Behind.
So maybe it's the reason why that one was so long on hiatus?
Is because he's writing something new? Maybe. The Wraithefts are an old minor noble house defined by magical talent and martial service. When 6-year-old Arcus Wraitheft, firstborn son to the family, proves disappointingly inept at magic, he is stripped of his inheritance and written off by his parents. His adoptive sister, Leshia, still adores him, but as the new heir, she is forbidden to interact with anyone who might drag her down. But when one inheritance is lost, fate arranges another. Arcus remembers another life, in a world where science prevails and magic belongs to the realm of fiction. Suddenly endowed with the life experience of a grown man and pressed to find a purpose as his family turns against him, Arcus resolves to find a way to break the laws of magic and Wraitheft tradition over his knee. Da-da-da! I hate my family! I'm so angsty! Science is going to kick magic's ass. Bah. Anyway, yeah. That's it. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. So that's a newer series too, right? There's only like 2 or 3 volumes for that one?
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, so. I think I saw the third one is coming, but it's not out yet. I'm pretty sure I saw that announced.
So the second volume came out in February, so maybe, but in last week when I did the list, that it was not, volume 3 was not out on Amazon.
I think I saw it actually on Micro Magazine's Twitter feed that a third one is coming. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it. I could be wrong, but anyway, it's a relatively new series, and yes, I'm guessing is perhaps the reason for Otherworld's hiatus. So
yeah, I think there were some artist issues with that Otherworld one too.
Oh really? Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, we've got another angsty main character who hates the world and needs to break it over his knee. Come here. Get over my knee. I'm gonna break you. Anyway, sorry.
I'm not sure how angsty this character is going to be.
When it looks so cutesy, like, and his little sister looks all, like, adorable, I don't know, it doesn't scream angsty to me either. But
on the cover for volume 2, he looks more like a businessman at his desk.
as long as it's not like the reincarnated healer one.
Mm.
Like that's too much.
I don't think so. I don't think so. This doesn't sound like anything of that kind. it's more. I have more like a vibe of like Fushi no Kami, the one we talked about last time. But this world seems to have magic.
I was just gonna say the two characters on the cover. So the girl on the left is his adoptive sister. Like, I don't know. I'm just curious. I mean, they both look very similar. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, they have the same hair color, same eye color. But I'm curious if, like, he is, like, his her father's brother's kid or something. I don't know. Or she is, yeah.
But this is the thing that, I don't really understand. Because it says that he's the firstborn, but then his adoptive sister still...
Yeah.
You're right. That is very confusing. I don't know.
I'm just curious. So I'm going to read it just so
maybe they adopt only people with white hair and red eyes.
Maybe. I don't know. Or it's some kind of weird twisted family thing where dad had a fling and then he had to adopt him because he was a bastard. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. I have no idea.
Or should the sister is adopted because he was a failure.
It could be. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they look alike, so it's
whatever. I don't know, man.
Maybe white hair and red eyes are a sick sign for people who have magic.
Maybe.
Or maybe just artistic choice.
Let's face it. She's adopted. They aren't related by blood. We know how this is going to go. Okay. Let's just leave it at that, because we know where this is going. Oh, Lord.
Down the gutter.
Yeah. But you're right, though, Raj. I looked at that second volume cover, and it doesn't... He looks more like a burnt-out, like, businessman. Yeah, that's... I don't know. Anyway, weird. Okay, so that's all that was announced over the last week and a bit that's going on in the light novel world. So a couple of good looking titles coming in and a couple of big question marks. We'll see. I did find it interesting. I'll just say one thing though. And I'll put it here because I was watching a little bit of like the live streams and stuff like that. And something that Sam said about J Novel Club. And I do want to say it because over the past year, I mean, when we take a look at the history of J Novel Club, they've had some really big titles and titles that when they first grabbed them didn't look big, but then all of a sudden it was like, oh, anime announcement within a month or two. And we're like, oh, okay. And Sam was saying, he said, we'll talk about because he opened the floor for questions. And then he said, okay, nobody's asking me. He's like, he says, none of you have the balls to ask. So I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. I was like, wow, dude, why you got to call us out like that? But anyway, he said, I know that we haven't picked up a lot of titles this year that were straight off ones that people recognize as being big titles or titles that have a lot of weight behind them. And he said that was done on purpose because he said they already have a bunch of really big titles. And this year, what they were more focused on was trying to build more variety of titles in terms of like bringing in the Jane Novel Heart, trying to expand that sort of getting some more shoujo, getting some more Yuri, getting some more, you know. So trying to look at a bigger variety of stuff and trying to pick titles that they thought sounded promising, but perhaps weren't as well known, so that those titles could grow and that they could grow with them as they went along. So I thought that was, and I think too, like our idea too was that if they're picking up a bunch of newer, like lower key titles that are newer, I imagine the licenses for those are less expensive, which meant that they're able to do announcements of, you know, 5-10 titles all in a single go, which allows them to carry a lot of titles and a lot of allows the company to know that they've got a lot of stuff going forward, that they're not just all of a sudden going to have half their titles ending all of a sudden kind of thing. Right. So I thought it was an interesting little insight into the thought pattern, because I'll admit, some of the titles that they've brought out this year have been very surprising. Some have been really good. I know Tear Moon Empire I think that was just announced last year, but Tyrmoon Empire, everybody's been loving that one, and I agree. Yeah. It's an excellent, excellent series. They've got a couple of series that are really good, and that, you know,
Deathbound Duke's Daughter.
Oh yeah, Deathbound Duke's Daughter. I really like that one too. I'm disappointed that so far there's still only the two volumes, but I'm hoping Sam will have something to say about that. I don't know if he will, but it's a hope.
Yeah. And some of them already have the anime, By the Ways of the Gods.
Yeah.
The anime is currently airing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, again, right, they still had titles that they brought out that obviously, Grace of the Gods, I think they started releasing last year, yeah. but definitely like the last 6 to 8 months, the J Novel Club announcements, they've had a lot of variety in a bunch of different titles, but you know, again, they weren't ones that you immediately were like, holy crap, I can't believe J Novel Club got that title, or oh wow, thank God J Novel Club got that title, you know what I mean? Or titles that you knew right away, you were like, wow, that's big. Like, you know, when they dropped like Ascendance of a Bookworm, you were like, holy crap, that's big, that's a big get.
Yeah, but there are quite a few promising ones.
Oh yeah.
I quite like Fushi no Kami. The first volume is just finished in the prepubs.
Oh yeah, so it was good.
Yes,
excellent.
It
good.
Was very good.
Oh good.
It is probably not the next Ascendance of the Bookworm, but it's maybe one tier lower.
Oh, but still.
And that's still good enough.
Well, yeah, I think that's I think honestly, J Novel Club has not picked a lot of titles that were honest to God stinkers. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to say that they bat 100 all the time, but I mean, there's been a lot of titles that they've picked up that none of us had heard about and none of us knew anything about. And when we picked them up and read them, we were like, holy crap, this is solid. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll give Sam, you know, I'll give him the credit and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there that, you know, and it sounds like he's developed some decent relationships with the publishers too, that they're kind of giving him tipping the hat to him and sort of saying, hey, you know what? Nobody knows about this, but it's going to be big. Like,
yeah, but is it this year that they licensed Slayer? That was pretty big.
Slayer?
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. I think it's, I think it's because, again, like, for those of us that are a little bit older or, you know, are well versed in the classics, like Slayers is a huge get to us, but I mean, to somebody who's, you know, 25, that might not be as big a thing as them getting, you know, like, again, right, like when you think about the titles that a lot of the titles that most people are most hotly anticipating are the ones that either already have an anime, have recently had an anime, or have an anime in production, right? And Jane almost had a number of those titles, but this year they haven't announced any that they haven't really announced ones that you knew immediately. You were like, oh yeah, they got that one because the anime is coming, or oh yeah, they got, you know what I mean.
So now that both Data Life and Bofudi and High School DxD have been licensed, mm-hmm. what do you think will be the next big thing that will be requested?
See, we like, well, it's funny, I was talking to Sean Gaffney about this because he was thinking it would be Gamers, and I mentioned Gamers earlier because I couldn't help it, because I mean, crappy Gamer. But again, though, we haven't really seen, honestly, since Data Live was licensed and now Bofuri, there hasn't been like significantly a single title that you can be like, okay, yeah, that's going to be the one that everybody wants, you know. Like, because it used to be, like, you'd have a company saying, we're going to announce some light novels, and, like, the whole thing would be, like, Data Life, Data Life, Data Life, Data Life, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there isn't, I wouldn't say there's a single title right now that...
Well, give it some time, because it's only been a few days since Wolfgang was announced, so the community still has to...
The shock has...
Find that new title they all want... So maybe Alderamin, maybe Gamers, yes.
Well,
I've seen a lot more of Alderamin lately. I've seen a lot of people asking about Alderamin. Yeah, I was thinking of Testament of Sister New Devil.
Yeah, that's a really, I don't know if that series is going to get picked up, because it gets like really ishy. Like,
like Sisters of New Devil, I always like it. didn't really check it out, but in my mind, it always equaled like budget High School DxD.
It's like, dude. It's like the soft porn of anime, man. Like seriously, it's like the stuff. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's like porn without the penetration. I mean, should I say that? I'm gonna get demonetized, but whatever. But dude, like for real, like especially if you watch like the second season or the OVA, there's, you want to talk about series where people get it on, like there, it's, and okay, I'm not slagging on it, I'm not hating on it, I'm just saying that given the current market and given like, you know, that they're already slapping parental warnings on High School DxD and stuff, and I'm not saying DxD doesn't have Eshi, but I mean, there's a difference between High School DxD Eshi and Testament of Sister New Devil Eshi. I don't think we're quite at...
I dropped Testament after half the first season.
Mm. Yeah, I dropped it
after one episode.
Oh. Well, then you missed the good stuff.
I think it's like for anime, sometimes it's just that there were other things that took my time.
Well,
and I was just like, oh, I'll be back someday, and I never came back to it.
You gotta watch it uncensored.
Yeah, I think there's some slice of life like anime starting soon too that might end up, you know, getting, you know, when they come out, we might get more people asking for them.
Yeah,
you know, like Oresuki or Hensuki. Mm. I always get those two mixed up. one of those, you know. I think maybe their time has passed because it's been a few. You know, a few seasons now, but, you know, if they get a sequel season, yeah.
I think, I think it'll all depend, I think, too, on what we see these companies starting to do, right? Like, J Novel Club has always, let's face it, J Novel Club, we've always kind of jokingly nudged them and been like, you're the isekai company. Like, you know, because let's face it, for a long time, that was their bread and butter. I appreciate that they are doing other stuff, and that is cool. But, you know, definitely isekai was a big thing for them. Alex from Tentai Books has kind of positioned himself that even though he picked up an isekai title, he has positioned himself that he wants to really be pushing ahead with, like, slice of life type stuff. So maybe I kind of wonder if we're going to just see, like, at this point, when you consider that some of the biggest titles have been picked up, I kind of think we might see a bit of a fracturing of the community in terms of what they demand, because they realize that if I ask Tentai for Oresuki or whatever, I'm more likely to get it because he's going after slice of life stuff, rom-com slice of life stuff. Or if I want the latest isekai, I'd probably be better off asking at J Novel Club. Like, I wonder if maybe that's why we might not see quite that same level of dedication to one or two titles. But then again, you know what? Like, when you take a look at it, though, like, how many seasons of anime did High School DxD have before it got licensed? You know, like, you were talking to fandom that had that for years before it got licensed. Data Live has had a couple seasons. So I think it's like, we don't have a lot of anime, I think, at this point that are truly like beloved titles that haven't been licensed, you know? I mean, I'm sure there's some that I'm probably not thinking of just at this moment, but
Alderaan.
Well, but okay, but let's face it, the anime for that was not as well known. I don't know, like, it'll be interesting to see what happens down the road, but, I mean, we now are at a point where these companies are picking up light novels before they're getting turned into anime, right? It's not as reactionary as it used to be. But again, we don't know what's going to happen down the road, right? I said, if the Reign of the Seven Soul Blades or whatever, I keep getting the title all mixed up in my head because it has, like, three different ones depending on what English version you go by. But anyway,
small thing, just checked, and Alderaan is on Crunchyroll.
All right, well, there you go. So go watch it, and if you like it, start screaming at start maybe it'd be best to scream at Yen on, because Seven Blades is by the same author, so if it does well, they might be more tempted to pick it up. Plus, like, J-Novel Club has Altina the Sword Princess, which I get a slightly similar vibe. I haven't read it yet, but yeah. I think they're different enough that it's not a big deal, but I still get a slightly similar vibe. So I would say yen.
Similar vibes haven't stopped them yet.
Oh no. I mean, God no.
Look at Cross Infinite Worlds. they have maybe three or four different vibes going on between all their different series.
Yeah, I missed when you guys were talking about that, but I was like, I'm kind of, it's not really fair, because I defend, you know, on the one hand, I defend isekai. I'm like, it's not that different from a fantasy work. A lot of times, the isekai element is just this little thing. Once you get past it, it's just another fantasy title. Mm-hmm. But then with the otome, I'm like, oh, there's too many otome. I don't think it's fair at all. I don't think it's fair at all, but I do still have that little reaction to
it. Yeah, well, like a bit like you, I do defend isekai. Like it's, for me, it's just a premise. Like it can be good, it can be bad. Let's just check it out and see what turns out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've just been looking what kind of anime there were that haven't been licensed yet, and besides Alderaan and Gamers, there's also Heaven's Memo Pad, Sunday Without God, Heavy Object.
Yeah, Heavy Object, that one I'm surprised we haven't gotten.
Golden Time, Copcraft.
Oh, Copcraft. I want to
Copcraft would be cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful Bones.
Yeah, oh, I wanted Beautiful that Bones. One.
I would love that. Sakurako.
So
yeah.
There are quite a few Eighth Son. Kenja no Mago, Mage's grandson.
Like, I'm not saying that we haven't
got Horizon.
Horizon. Oh, God. Horizon is never getting licensed. Like, that, we just have to let go.
Yeah. Lord Marksman and Vanadis. Chunibyo.
Yeah. Oh, that would be. We should. You know what? I would really love to see more mysteries. Because the few that we've gotten, I have really enjoyed. I would love to see more mystery stuff. And I would love to see more just like paranormal in our world stuff. Like
Psychic Detective Yakumo.
Yeah. Like, well, this is what I mean. Oh, yeah. Even Boogie Pop, like that kind of like urban fantasy type stuff. I would love to see more of that. Like, we really don't have a lot of, you know, ghost stories. We don't have a lot of supernatural paranormal in our world stuff.
Yeah, Ghost Hunt is also...
Oh, there's lots. Oh, yeah. Like, they've got lots of them.
Classic.
Yeah, they've got lots of them in Japan. And I would love to see that kind of stuff here, because that is largely untapped. I'm not going to say totally. I mean, we did get like another, and we got like Book Girl is kind of on that, is like that in a very different, its own way. But
yeah, I was just talking about things that have an anime adaptation.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, if anyone listens,
I know, right? Seriously, if anybody's listening,
if anyone's listening, first of all, Scrap Princess.
Scrap Princess. Oh, of course. My God. How could I miss that?
Like, I mean, I don't know, Jean-Luc. I mean, you've already pimped that directly to Sam and to Alex. I don't know, though.
Like, Arya the Scarlet Emo.
Yeah.
I'll say it as much as needed. Rescue that title, man.
Well, I mean, like, J-Novel Club's like published how many titles by that same author now, right? Like three or four?
Yeah, especially.
So, like, they just need to get Chaika and Scrapped Princess and we're good to go, right? Come on. Anyway.
Yeah, and then they can do a mega big collector box of that author. Like,
just that author, yeah.
Yeah.
They might actually get people to buy Wild Times with a fake princess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, anyway. All right, so that is everything that's covered. And before I start spouting my mouth off and getting us in trouble, we'll call it a night. and then,
good thing we didn't do this in, as a prelude to the next recording.
Well, I mean, you know, our next recording is actually going to be Well, yeah, it's a good thing we didn't try to do this as just a news thing. My God, can you imagine? So our next podcast is going to be actually, it might be shorter, believe it or not. Just going to talk about a single volume, and that is, there's no way a side character like me can be popular, right?
There's no way the podcast will be shorter, right?
well, like, you know what? We've had a few people, and fair enough, fair criticism about how we've talked about some titles that, you know, we didn't really get into the characters as much. We didn't get into the story as much and the themes and stuff. We just kind of like bitched about whatever, you know, we felt inclined to talk about. And I mean, fair enough, totally a fair criticism. Yeah. And I kind of thought, you know, it's harder with so many titles out. It's harder. Like, we all have varying tastes. You know, it's harder for us to sit down and review, you know, 3, 4, 5 volumes of a series. So I thought, you know, yeah, if we can get back to doing just even the first volume and sort of getting more to the nitty gritty of the characters and everything else, it could be cool. And plus, we really have not done a lot of slice of life on here. I think we've only done my youth romantic comedy, so we definitely need, I think we need to do a little bit of that too. So we should pump up those titles that we keep saying we want more of. All right, so that'll be our next one. So if you're looking for us to chat a bit about romantic comedy slice of life stuff, well, join us in the next episode. Until then, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And to you listeners, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Till then, bye-bye for now. For show notes and related links, visit lightnovelpodcast.com.